Are you lost in wrestling? Can't find a good match clearly? Well, stop looking and start listening. Everything is about to become crystal clear because you have now entered Wrestling Clarity with your host, Andre C.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am Andre C, and welcome to this week's edition of Wrestling Clarity. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Wrestling Clarity is back, and I think I've got a pretty decent show for you this week. I'm going to start out, we're going to talk about Survivor Series. I just did not enjoy that show. I thought boring pay-per-view, predictable with Undertaker and Kane. We all knew Taker and Kane were going over because you're not going to put the Wyatts beating the guy who has his anniversary match, 25th anniversary match on this pay-per-view. You know you're not going to do it. So that was just kind of lackluster. Plus, they'd given away them overcoming the Wyatts 2 weeks ago. So really, we were looking forward to 2-on-2, and we got the 4-on-2 2 weeks ago, and that was, to me, the climax of this whole thing. As for the tournament, I thought Reigns and Del Rio had a great match, the first match of the night, and then Ambrose and Owens had a pretty decent match too. Owens looked really good, strong, because he was losing, so you kind of, they kept him strong, made him look good in the loss. But I found Ambrose and Reigns was only 9 minutes. That match was way too short, and as soon as it was over, you knew something was happening because that match was way too short. There was too much time left. Triple H coming out and him not accepting Triple H, you kind of knew it. And then Triple H's guy comes out and Sheamus, who cashes in with the title off 2 bro kicks. Really? The guy who was making stupid jiggy with it jokes earlier in the night is now your number one guy? I just think it's completely stupid. He's been a joke for so long. You haven't rehabbed him since you gave him that briefcase. They've been making him look like a joke ever since. It's like they think because somebody has a title or because somebody has the briefcase that they think, oh, this guy's protected. He ain't going to look bad if he loses or if he does something dumb. Yes, they look just as dumb, or if not dumber than the guy without the title doing it, because at least the guy without the title or the briefcase doing it, he's just a stupid looking dude. But if you're doing with a champion or a guy who's going to be one of your future champions, it makes them look even worse, I find. So, just Survivor Series to me just did not come off well. I thought Breeze and Ziggler was too short. The women got lots of time, but the match just wasn't, I don't know, just didn't capture me, I guess. The 5-on-5, fun for what it was, I guess, but again, with no build-up, no real stakes in the teams, who cares, right? And same with the pre-show one with Team Goldust versus Team Stardust. Again, no build-up. You hotshotted his return. Goldust could have come back with, he should have promoted his return, not just hotshotted him back like that, especially on a pre-show, which that's even worse that you hotshot him on a pre-show. But again, the show overall, Roman Reigns was champion for 5 minutes and 15 seconds. I wasn't happy with him winning the title anyways. To me, this pay-per-view should have been either the crowning of Kevin Owens as your next top heel, or Ambrose or Reigns turning heel to become a heel champion, because you do not have enough top heels right now to be having Reigns. Once Reigns wins that title, who is he face? Well, if you wait till Royal Rumble, have him win the title Royal Rumble, I guess you can either have set up Cena or Lesnar to win the Royal Rumble and have them face at Mania, but other than those two, there's nobody else you want to see Reigns work with other than maybe a heel Ambrose at WrestleMania. Like, and I honestly don't see them putting Ambrose in the main event at WrestleMania. Not yet. He will be there someday, but I don't think yet. So, the Terrible moved on to the next night on Raw, in my opinion. I found Sheamus just as bad the next on Raw as he was on the pay-per-view. He was a joke before. He's a joke after the title. Reigns, yeah, he's going to get cheered over Sheamus, but that's because everyone hates Sheamus, not because he's a heel. They hate him because he's a terrible character. And the fact is, I think once Reigns wins that title, the crowd, once he wrestles somebody they like better than him, especially if it's Brock Lesnar, he's going to get booed. I guarantee it. If it's Brock Lesnar, Reigns gets booed. If it's John Cena, I could see them both getting booed in that situation. If it's Daniel Bryan, you know he's getting booed. I honestly don't see anyone that Reigns, after finishing up with Sheamus, who's a joke of a champion, and I think it devalues Reigns if he beats him at TLC, it'll be bad. But if he beats him at Rumble, I just don't think he's beating a guy who's a joke, not even the guy he should have won the title off of. I think it's just a bad situation for Roman Reigns. I think he takes a devalued title to go get booed against the next guy who challenges him. It's as simple as that. So other things on, like, in his match with Rusev, not that impressed with. Other things on Raw, I thought using the Dudleys in the Wyatt feud, it's good for the Wyatts. It gives them a strong tag team to work with. But I really think this is a bad use of Bubba Ray. They need to break up the Dudleys, and they need to let Bubba go heel. Let him bring his character from TNA. Doesn't have to be Bully Ray. It can still be Bubba Ray, or whatever you want to call him. But just let him bring his heel character over, because you need a top heel. And he proved in TNA that he can be the top heel in the company. He showed it. And I think he could do it in WWE. I really do believe that. Moving on to another part of tag division, The New Day. So, we all love The New Day. It's a foregone conclusion. I know I'm a huge fan. I'm pretty sure Brian and Mike are fans of The New Day. It's just a fun gimmick. But it's just, when you have them do an open challenge, so the Usos come out, and then Lucha Dragons come out, both accepting, and then they just cancel it, and then you have the Usos beat them up, I'm not a big fan of that, because your strongest tag team is now getting beat up by two generic tag teams in your tag division. Not very smart there, WWE. Not very smart at all. Because, honestly, New Day is probably one of your best gimmicks in the company. Now, Mex America needs to die. Simple as that. I'm done with that gimmick. And Charlotte and Paige needs to be over. Needs to be done. Their chemistry is shit. Their matches are not that great. Move on. Just move away from the established divas. Sasha needs to be her next challenge. Becky needs to get in there and challenge her too. It's simple as that. Those three need to be the face of the women's division. You have to move away from the other girls. Simple as that. Because you can bring in Natty and then go rehab Paige. And then bring her back. Because I'm just sick of the Divas Revolution we're getting right now. Honestly, we should be getting way better stuff than this. You have Charlotte, Becky, and Sasha, who have had some of the greatest matches over the last year with each other and other women in NXT. They should be doing much better right now, but they're hampered by a writing staff that doesn't know how to use them. Honestly, fire WWE writing staff, get the NXT writing staff to write for both of them, for Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, because obviously we know the NXT writing staff can write. WWE staff writing staff sucks. So Charlotte just needs to move on to a feud with Sasha or Becky. It's simple as that. She needs to get away from Paige and all these other established divas. Simple as that. And then my one shining light of this show was Ambrose and Owens and what they're setting up for those two. TLC, they're going to be, there's going to be an Intercontinental title match. I look forward to that. That was one shining light, those two in their tag match on Raw. I was actually enjoyed. Otherwise, this show to me just was pretty terrible Raw. And what I've heard, it's one of the lowest ratings since the Attitude Era. So that's pretty freaking bad. I'm sorry, WWE. You have to pick up your game. You need to get rid of Sheamus as your champion. You need to kill that Mex America bull and turn Del Rio face, because he needs to be a good guy. He he's not a believable bad guy anymore. He really isn't. Not with your writing staff. Maybe with the AAA writing staff. Maybe with some late indies work. He can work a good heel there. But honestly, dude, with your writing staff, oh, you guys cannot write him well as a heel. You don't write a lot of heels very well, anyways. Rollins was a pretty decent. You guys did a good job with him, but honestly, other than him, Kevin Owens. Yeah, you write him as a heel, but I guarantee you a lot of the things coming out of Kevin Owens' mouth, that's him, because he is a natural hero, has always been one. And I just think Kevin Owens getting over despite what he's being given by WWE. So up next, I'll be talking about my favorite WWE programming, NXT, Breaking Ground, and Table for Three. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. You know what? I've become the hugest fan of NXT for the past couple years. It, to me, one of the best shows that WWE can produce. Simple as that. They have a smaller writing staff, but yet these guys come up with great things for this program. I don't know why the WWE can't replicate it on its main roster. I really don't know why. Well, let's start it out. This week's edition of NXT, Balor and Joe. How they start out their show, contract signing. You know, we all expect a table break and all that. But I thought this was actually a really good way to do it. Balor comes out to the ring at Michael Cole's, your interim general manager, while William Regal is recovering. Legitimate neck surgery. And so you got Balor come out to the ring, telling Joe he's ready for him. He doesn't deserve this, but he's ready for him. And then you have Joe come out, simply gets in the ring, signs a contract, and leaves. I thought, genius. You get him over as a guy going, I don't give two about this other character. I just want I want that title match. So Balor signs, does his title lift up, leaves, but gets attacked on the ramp by Samoa Joe. And then Joe beats him down, and Kokina clutches him, gets his heat. I thought it was a phenomenal way to do that feud. I thought a little bit different than most times in a contract signing, because it was after the signing, after everybody's leaving, that's when you get the attack. I thought just small little things like that is why I think NXT is doing the better choices in wrestling right now. Now, next up was Dawson and Wilder and the Vaudevillains. You know what, dude? I love Dawson and Wilder. I think the tag team is vicious, great. Those two guys together are a great tag team. I think it's the right time for them to be tag team champions right now, because now you can have Enzo and Cass chase for the belts legitimately instead of having a weird feud with the Vaudevillains. Because the Vaudevillains were hot. They were doing great with Blake and Murphy until the day after they won the titles. The day they won the titles in Brooklyn was great. Everybody was happy. And they've been ice cold ever since. So Dawson and Wilder taking the tag team championships. And now they got this feud with Enzo and Cass coming out to attack them after the result from that attack 2 weeks ago. I think, you know what I mean? Perfection. Perfection. I think it was the best thing they could have done. It sets it up for NXT London, or NXT TakeOver in London. It's perfect. I cannot wait to see that match, and I actually really hope that Dawson and Wilder keep the tag team titles and bring this a little longer until probably we're going to get, I'm thinking, we might get a TakeOver at Royal Rumble weekend. You never know. But, and then after that, I'm actually excited to see Emma and Asuka go at it, because Emma's attack on her, I think it kind of shows who's taking on Asuka at TakeOver London. I think it's going to be Emma. If it's Dana, I could close up on that match, because Asuka's obviously going to win again. But Emma is a great worker. I've seen her back when she was working in BC in Alberta. She was a good worker back then. I thought she's only gotten better. She's trained by Lance Storm. She's awesome. She deserves to be where she is right now. She's doing well in NXT, and I think this can help her once they get away from most of those girls that are up there. I think her going out back up with her new heel character, I think will be a great thing for Becky and Charlotte to feud with when she finally does get back up on the main roster. But I'm looking forward to their match at London. Now, Apollo Crews and Jesse Sorensen. I love Sorensen. There's a weird feeling there because he was a guy that got hurt. I think we all be that you know, like him because he's the guy that survived breaking his neck in wrestling. But I think Apollo Crews, I'm impressed with the guy in the ring. He has a great Wuha Nation, man. He was great, great in-ring character. But he hasn't shown any character yet. I think this guy, if he started wearing the flashy suits and driving the car, could become a really, really good heel. Become that cocky heel that's kind of shows he's better than everyone and then can back it up. And then he's great in the ring, I think. You know what? I think it could be a great character for him, but they're not ready to turn him heel, obviously, and I think he's too generic of a babyface to be a babyface. I am liking his powerbomb, that powerbomb finisher he has versus his moonsault, or his military press moonsault combo. I think it's better for a character of his size. Just, it shows his power. He can show his athleticism in other points in the match and then finish with a hard power move. I think it works for him. Now, I actually had a good time watching the Eva Marie match. Mostly because Bayley can carry a mop to a good match. And those two had a pretty good match. She actually did well with the sliced bread. She did some pretty good moves in there. I thought Nia Jax helped making her look good too. And you know what? I'm actually really happy with this match. But I'm very unhappy with the aftermatch. And the fact that Bayley's going to be feuding with Nia Jax. To me, Nia Jax is not ready. She's only been on TV for like 2-3 weeks now. They really need to establish her more before she gets beaten by Bayley. Bayley's not losing at NXT in London. We all know that. Nia Jax is not taking that title. It's not time yet. So, really, I don't see Nia Jax winning. And again, another debuting woman going down to the champion. It's just burying her. Simple as that. Now, I'm going to move on to a couple other shows on the network that I've become a very, very, very big fan of over the past little bit. Breaking Ground and Table for Three. Now, let's talk about Breaking Ground first. Honestly, I'm enjoying that living hell out of it. Getting to watch all these people, kind of their lives and what they're trying to accomplish. I hate Mojo Rawley's character, but you want to know something? I can appreciate him a little more because of Breaking Ground. As you get to see him in a different light. You get to see him kind of... And I thought him and Dana Brooke, when they were driving together, and he gets the chick's number from the other car, absolutely hilarious. I think I'm kind of becoming a fan of him just for the fact how I'm getting to see him behind the scenes. Some of the other characters on the show, showing Baron Corbin... showing Carmella and Enzo and Kaz. Showing all these guys behind the scenes and their struggle to make it to the main roster. The new World's Greatest Tag Team. Oh, wait, no, call them the World's Greatest Tag Team. Jason Jordan and Chad Gable. And loving seeing their little dynamic on that show. Seeing how they come up and seeing Jason Jordan going from a guy who has all this potential, but just can't seem to get over. And he's finally finding something that's getting him over, working with Chad Gable, becoming the next version of the World's Greatest Tag Team, but don't call them the World's Greatest Tag Team. You know what? I'm happy with it. I think this show is only going to get better. William Shatner is a great voice as the narrator because he's not overshadowing anybody, but his way he speaks, his tone gives a great feel for that show, I find. So, you know what? I'm very happy. And then Table for Three. Just a fun little conversation between three wrestlers. Some of them I've not been a fan of because there's stuff like the one with Samoa Joe and Neville and Bo Dallas. I thought, eh. You got a guy who came in after those guys had left. It just didn't really work. I find there's a couple others that don't work. But the best one I think I've seen over all of them is King's Court. It has three King of the Ring winners and all guys from Europe in William Regal, Wade Barrett, and Sheamus. I thought those three talking together, especially because of Barrett and Sheamus. They talk because they worked, they knew each other before WWE. They talk about their times in England working with each other, and then they can relate that to William Regal because he can talk about his time in England working over there. And he gives them, he's giving them advice on what they can do with their careers, along with just knowing each other and talking about old times and new times and things like that. I think, you know what, I thought it was a great put together. Another couple good ones are the New Day one. It's them talking about the, how they put the New Day together. I thought really fun version of the Table for Three there. And the WCW legends, Sting, Vader, and DDP. I thought they were very good. Sting, Vader, and DDP. Those guys, legends in WCW. And they tell some good stories, I find, in there. Another really good one, I'll leave it at this one, is Ivory, Alundra Blaze, and Molly Holly, and the Diva Legends one. Honestly, just great to hear from some of the older divas talking about what divas wrestling is now, what it was like wrestling in their day, things like that. I thought great to hear, and great for a new school fan to kind of learn about the old school style, and old school fans to see, hear what the divas they liked back then think about what's happening now. I quite enjoy these shows. They are on the WWE Network. I will be bringing up a couple other shows I've been enjoying next time on Wrestling Clarity on from the WWE Network. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to talk some UFC. First up, I'm going to talk about what happened 2 weeks ago. Holly Holm, second round head kick KO to the UFC bantamweight champion Ronda Rousey, and she wins the women's title, the women's bantamweight title. I am so happy for this. I thought Ronda Rousey, great champion, great for the division, have a very dominant person on top, but I thought if you're going to have a title change, hopefully it's something super exciting. You know what? It was. You got the head kick knockout. I thought the crowd loved it. I thought it was great. Australian fans really seemed to be happy about it. But, you know what? I think it worked great for the business. I think it opens up this division now. If Ronda does want to come back and fight, I'm hoping it's UFC 200 and that's the next Holly Holm fight. But Ronda has her biopic movie, which she's starring in. She has her Roadhouse, which she's doing, the remake of Roadhouse, but they're doing it with Ronda Rousey. And she has a couple other movies on her plate this year. The question is, can she be ready to go against a woman who picked her apart, made her look foolish, made her chase her? Honestly, I think Holly Holm, if they do it again, and if Ronda still has the distractions she has, which I don't see them going away because she's a very in-demand person, and does losing the title take away some of Ronda Rousey's luster? That's the other question. The question is, does Ronda Rousey need to move camps? Because Edward Tarverdian was just like, oh, you had a great first round, and yet she got her ass kicked that entire round. She looked terrible. I think she needs a new coach, new camp. She can't be the number one in the camp. She has to go somewhere where she is another fighter and the coach is number one. I find, I've been watching a lot of analysis and reading a lot of things, she was the number one at her camp. She didn't have somebody she could kind of go back into her corner and be like, oh my, what's going on? She was the one. She was number one. It was just other people feeding her, not somebody who is a true coach for her. I think she needs to get a new coach, new team, new camp, and I think she needs to get out of California altogether. Hey, go find a new team. Honestly, move away from where you're at, find a new team, get training, get a new game plan for this girl who broke your game plan down and destroyed you. Because honestly, Ronda, you don't have a chance standing against Holly Holm. You got to work with a team that's going to work your wrestling, work your judo, so that your next time you're putting her down on her ass. So I'm going to talk about some upcoming stuff December 10th, 11th, and 12th. Yes, UFC 3 days in a row, all from Las Vegas. First up, December 10th, I think, is a fun Fight Pass card that I think if you don't have Fight Pass, you're really going to want to see it because, for one, you're getting a young Canadian in the name named Sage Northcutt taking on Cody Pfister. Going to be a great fight, and it's an upcoming Canadian that a lot of people are saying could be that next big breakout star for Canadian fighter for Canadian fans. And then also on that card, the main event of the night is 12-gauge Paige VanZant, 20 years old, taking on Rose Namajunas, a woman who competed on that Ultimate Fighter season for the women's strawweight title. I think these two 115-pound fight, it's a great main event, and it's a great situation for them being in the main event on a UFC Fight Pass card on a Fight Night show. And it's in a big weekend with the stuff coming after it, what's coming up the rest of the weekend. A lot of people are going to be in town for that. People that wouldn't regularly go to that fight probably are going to that fight now. And they're going to see some couple great fighters on that card. The next thing, you got the Ultimate Fighter finale, Team McGregor versus Team Faber. We're not getting a fight out of the two coaches, which is weird, but we're not. What we're getting is Frankie Edgar versus Chad Mendes. Now, this is a big deal here. This is a 145-pound fight. Yet the next night, you have a 145-pound featherweight fight unification bout between Jose Aldo and Conor McGregor. Now, if there's something comes to happen that Jose Aldo or Conor McGregor get hurt, you have your next two top fighters in that division ready to go fight. I think that was a great thing they did, having this fight set up the night before, because if, say, a week out, Aldo gets hurt, you make it, you strip, at that point, you got to strip Aldo and just make it for the title, not an interim, for the actual title, Conor McGregor versus either, I say Frankie Edgar, being that Mendes already fought him, but if McGregor goes down, it's for the title. You can put Frankie or Chad in there. You can have Chad go in there for the rematch, and you have Frankie go in there challenging for his first featherweight championship. I think either way, if it's something bad happens, but that those two, if nothing bad happens, that's going to be a great main event for that Ultimate Fighter card. Frankie Edgar, Chad Mendes, no matter what, I think with the winner of that fight, you get your next challenger for whoever wins between Jose and McGregor. I really do. And then the next night, December 12th, I'm so excited. Just on the TV prelims, you've got Uriah Faber taking on Frankie Sens and Tisha Torres taking on Jocelyn Jones-Larbiger. I think two great fights. Yeah, I think every fan's going to enjoy that just on TV prelims. And then you got the main card. They got three great other fights, but then the semi-main, the main event, two title fights. You can't go wrong with two title fights on one card. You've got Chris Weidman. He takes on Luke Rockhold. Luke Rockhold is a hell of a fighter. He's decimated certain fighters that made them look like just chumps. I think Chris Weidman, he is probably one of his toughest tests to date, going up against Luke Rockhold. And honestly, I believe this is going to be one of the best fights of the night, other than what's coming up on the main event, which is a UFC featherweight unification bout. Champion Jose Aldo going up against interim champion Conor McGregor. I can't wait. We were supposed to get this in July. Aldo got hurt, quotations. I don't believe he was actually hurt. I think he just pussed out. So, honestly, I can't wait for this. I hope the crap McGregor knocks the shit out of Aldo, but Aldo's been undefeated for how many years? For years upon years upon years. McGregor has a big, big step in front of him. If he wins this fight, he proves he's best. If he loses, man, his talk has been just chump change. Honestly, I really do hope he wins. I'm a huge fan of McGregor. I don't want to be proven wrong. I really don't. So we'll see what happens on that fight, because I think, honestly, great fight there. And then, yeah, that's a great 3 days of fighting. If you don't have Fight Pass, get it, because you do want to see that fight night card on Thursday, December 10th. Paige VanZant, Rose Namajunas, and Sage Northcutt versus Cody Pfister. Two fights that are going to be absolutely great, I think. Do not miss it. And then UFC 190, you got the Ultimate Fighter finale, which will be on TV. Frankie Edgar, Chad Mendes, you don't want to miss that fight. Those two are probably going to kill it in that main event. And then the next night, two title fights. Uriah Faber on the card, Tito Torres on the card. And you're going to absolutely die if you don't watch UFC 194. I'll be watching it the next day on December 13th. I really, really hope I don't get spoiled that night, because I can't wait to see those fights.
Hey everybody, Mike the Ref here with the Amateur Sports Podcast Network. Just letting you know, our next shows will be on Saturday, November 28th. We are going to have two quick call shows. The first, our Southern senior correspondent and legend T. James Logan, friend of the show, along with the Springbrook Hoff, will be covering the RCW Retaliation show from the Springbrook Multiplex. It's going to be a humdinger of a show, guys. Anybody in the area, please make sure you check it out. And of course, myself and the Front Row Mafia will be at the PWA Christmas Slam show from the Northgate Lions Senior Center. Quick call shows will involve interviews with the stars and expert analysis. Our very special announcement tonight, folks, is our next live feed will be coming up on Saturday, December 5th, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Monster Pro Wrestling presents Blitzkrieg from the Alberta Avenue Arena. For more details of this, check out the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network on YouTube, as well as check out some of the videos on there. But let's get back to the upcoming events with Andre C. on Wrestling Clarity, here on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, as the jingle says, it is time for your upcoming events. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, upcoming this weekend, November 28th. PWA presents Christmas Slam at the Northgate Lions Senior Rec Center in Edmonton, Alberta. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a match in here you do not want to miss. If you heard our quick calls from last weekend at Remembrance, you heard us talk about Lance Storm and Rachel Ellering versus Giselle Shaw and Brett Morgan. I can't wait for this one coming up. It's Rachel Ellering in a singles match against Giselle Shaw, but announced this week, ladies and gentlemen, the special guest referee for that match, none other than the legend, Lance Storm. And ladies and gentlemen, Lance Storm will be at the event early. There will be a meet and greet and autograph session before the show, so you do not want to miss that. You can meet one of the greatest wrestlers in the world, man who's trained some of the best in the world, the man who trained current WWE superstar Tyler Breeze. You do not want to miss meeting this guy and seeing him ref this match. Same night in Springbrook, Alberta, at the Springbrook Multiplex, RCW presents Retaliation. This is going to be Dick Richard's last match in Springbrook, Alberta. And he will be facing off against Monster Pro Wrestling Provincial Champion and Pure Power Wrestling Cruiserweight Champion, Chris, one of my favorite wrestlers in the world, Parrish. Ladies and gentlemen, you do not want to miss that match. I think those two together are going to create just perfection in the ring. And then 1 week later, December 5th, MPW presents Blitzkrieg from the Alberta Avenue Community Hall in Edmonton, Alberta. The main event that night, six-man scramble match, Maniac the Champion defending his title against Jackhammer, Massive Damage, Diablo, Chris Parrish, and Crazy Core, who just won the Retribution to get into that match. You do not want to miss that match because it will be absolutely insane. And then, the next Friday, December 11th, at the Springbrook Multiplex in Red Deal, Alberta, it will be RCW Holiday Carnage. And ladies and gentlemen, do not forget to bring a canned food item, because that will be a food drive for that food drive show, and you'll be able to donate to the food bank if you bring any non-perishable donations for the food drive. And then the next night, Saturday, December 12th, Evansdale Community League in Edmonton, Alberta. It is RCW Christmas Brawl. And ladies and gentlemen, it is Dick Ritzer's last match in RCW. And he will be taking on his Dick Slammer's tag team partner, Slammer. Ladies and gentlemen, you do not want to miss that show. We will all be there for the Edmonton SPN. We will not miss that show. I will be at the show in Springbrook the night before also. So, ladies and gentlemen, you do not want to miss any of these shows I've just listed, because they are all going to be phenomenal. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to Wrestling Clarity. I'm glad this. I'm glad to come back on the air. It's just been a tough little bit for me, so I haven't been able really to record really a lot of shows. I'm happy I've gotten to do quick calls with the boys and everything. So, ladies and gentlemen, you can find me on Twitter at WrestlingCPod. You can email me at WrestlingClarityPodcast@gmail.com. Please email me. I'm be glad to hear from listeners. Let me know your opinions. I know I didn't bring back the greatest match this time around, but I will bring that back in the new year. You can check us all myself and all the other shows out at EdmontonSPN.podbean.com. Search us up on Facebook, Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. We are on iTunes at the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. And you can find us on other podcast network apps by searching us up on Edmonton Sports Podcast Network and subscribing, or check us out through an RSS feed for anybody who does it through Android apps. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening, and please support indie wrestling wherever you are.
This has been Wrestling Clarity on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.